When Boyz II Men released their cover of It's So Hard to Say Goodbye to Yesterday, it soared on the billboards. The lyrics touch on the loss we feel when loved ones are no longer with us. Thinking of losing a loved one is no fun, but we wouldn't be serving you well if we didn't talk about how to protect your family. So today we're talking life insurance, what it is, how they work, and what you need to know.
Hey, welcome to the Talking Sense podcast. I'm Mark Osorio.
And I'm Teresa Arago. We're financial advisors, and if there's one thing we understand, it's that money can be confusing.
So get ready, because we're breaking down what you don't know about money today on the Talking Sense podcast. We get it. Today's topic isn't one that you're going to get fired up about, but we ask that you hang in and tune in, because this topic can have a major impact on your family.
Whether you're single or married, with or without kids, understanding life insurance and having the right coverage can make an impact on those who are left behind, and it could even break your family's financial plan. So it's really important that you get this one right.
Last year, a study by the Life Insurance Information Institute showed that only 54% of Americans had some form of life insurance in place. This is simply people who have coverage. That doesn't even mean that they have the right amount of coverage or the right kind of life insurance.
So we're going to break it up into three questions: what it is, why have it, and how to get it. So let's start with, what is life insurance?
So much like most other insurances, life insurance is some sort of replacement for something that's lost, right? So in terms of homeowners insurance, right? That is, if something happens to your house, if it, you know, burns down, then what is the cost to replace it and do it well, right? So then an adequate home insurance policy would be able to completely replace your home. And the same for car insurance. You know, it would be able to replace your car in case of an accident. So in terms of life insurance, we view that as income replacement.
Because obviously you can't replace the person, but there are things that person brought into the household budget that are going to need to be dealt with. Life insurance is a contract between you and the provider. You pay premiums, and in exchange for that, the provider pays a sum of money to your loved ones when you die. There are a ton of different types of life insurance out there, but generally it breaks into two groups: permanent and term. So let's talk through those two types and what that means.
Right. So a permanent insurance can be called things such as whole life, universal life, and variable life insurance. So that's, you know, kind of jargony. So essentially, permanent insurance, the premiums last throughout your whole lifetime, right? So that's why it's called permanent. And it's because you pay them as long, basically, as you live. And it usually includes some sort of an either growth mechanism or savings mechanism, whether that be investment based or just some sort of interest bearing type of account, right? So whole life, universal life, that can typically be kind of that more fixed interest rate based, whereas the variable is typically investment based. And the premiums are usually significantly higher than term life.
Because the insurance company knows at some point they're going to have to pay out. So their risk is there. So they're going to charge you more for those pieces. Now, term insurance, on the other hand, it's going to last for a predetermined number of years. And that's part of the contract. When you're applying for it, you'll say, I want X number of years, and that'll be the end of it. It is way more affordable than permanent insurance if it fits your needs. And I will say, both of us have term insurance. We kind of ascribe to the buy term, invest the difference, you know, kind of mentality about that. And for me, I got it as a way of protecting my family. If something happens and I didn't come home tonight during my earning years, what would they need? And that's what I based my premium off of. And I know you mentioned to me, you don't have just a ton of expenses, but you also have a term policy. And I loved the way you explained that. So explain why you have a term policy in place.
Yeah. So for me, you know, I don't really, like you said, I don't have a whole lot of expenses. For me, it's basically just a way to make sure that anything that is, you know, potentially hanging over, that I still have all of those things covered. But, you know, as a single young professional, I just want to make sure that my responsibilities are taken care of, but also that if I'm planning on hopefully, you know, having a family at some point down the line and kids and that kind of thing. So by getting life insurance earlier, then that typically means that I have less health issues, right? Mm-hmm. And for the insurance company, that translates to lower premiums to be paid. So you're kind of locking in a rate because that's something that you get with term life insurance. You get a set payment for the entire length of the term.
Exactly. So we've talked about what it is. But why have it? And we're going to go through different groups on this, and we're going to try to go a little bit quick because we don't want you guys to get bored hearing this. So again, we single young professional, we talked a little bit about that's kind of where you're at right now. Typically in that group, you're going to have some student loan debt or credit card debt that you need to make sure is covered. Also need to include the cost of your final expenses if anything comes up there. If you're debt free, the employer coverage you have may be enough to cover your needs. Some employers, it's $10,000 policy. That's probably not going to be enough to even bury you from personal experience. But if you have one of those that's higher, that may be enough. You just need to make sure you do the math on that. But if you switch employers, you're likely to have a blackout period in between those employers where you're not eligible for the new employer's life insurance policy. So we usually encourage people to see that employer coverage as bonus and to have a personal policy that covers your financial needs just in case. So there's no gaps in your coverage.
Right. For newlyweds and married couples, in addition to the items you know, mentioned above as single young adults, you're now part of a combined future with you know dual incomes. And most of the time, you know, the couples will make financial plans together, right? That just makes sense. So with that, with the household income being you know driven by both incomes, then that creates that importance to make sure that, okay, if something happens to one person, then we have the ability to replace that other income.
And I think this is one of those areas where there's a lot of miscommunications on that. We're going to talk about it a little bit later. So we'll cover that in a minute. Next up is going to be parents. When kids join the mix, some new considerations come too. If one of you didn't come home, what would the now single parent need to maintain the family lifestyle? You know, a lot of people say, well, if the house was paid off, they'll be fine, right? But if the house is paid off, there's still going to be gaps that you guys were working together to fill. Maybe they're going to have to use daycare where before they didn't have to in the case of a stay-at-home parent. But we'd encourage you to consider that impact. Also, you know, if one of you was if both of you were contributing to employer plans, you've now only got one person who's eligible to contribute. So what does that do to your future retirement plans? There's a blackout period too that a lot of people don't realize. So in my case, for instance, I have a 2-year-old, and if something were to happen to my husband, we would receive benefits from Social Security, survivor's benefits, for as long as my child is in the home. She's my youngest, so the others would already be gone. But, you know, when she graduates high school, that stops. So from that point until I turn 60, there is a gap in survivor's benefits. So it's important to understand how that might affect you. And I'm going to share an even more unfun thing that we just have to be honest with you about too, is it's not fun to think about, but from personal experience, another piece that you need to think about is the loss of children. I know it's not fun, but having been there, I have a rider on my personal policy that provides coverage for all of my children at an extremely reasonable rate so that if something were to happen to one of my children, we have just enough to bury them. And that way we don't have that added pain of not knowing what we're going to do, because that's where we were with our last one. We didn't have this at the time. So just, you know, again, it's no fun to think about, but the alternative is even worse. So we've talked about what it is. We've talked about why you need it. So how do you get it?
And I mean, there's a few different ways. I think that the most common ways to get it is either through work or through some sort of life insurance company, right? So you either have in work what they call a group policy, right, where it's not just based off of your own life or your medical records, but it's they're insuring a group of people, so they can typically provide that at a more affordable rate. Or if you want to look at it through just an individual policy, which will continue with you even if you don't have employment, then you want to look at you know, talking to, whether it be directly to an insurance agent or a financial advisor like us, to kind of look at what that process looks like. And it's typically not all that painful.
Right? I think a lot of people anticipate there's going to be this long, drawn out thing. And it really isn't if you've got the right person working for you. We do want to talk about the dynamic, because there's two different types of ways that you can sell insurance. There are what are called captive brokers, and then there are those that are independent. So here at GenWealth, we are independent. A captive broker, a good example, if we were looking at car insurance, if you went to Allstate, your Allstate agent said, hey, I need some car insurance quotes, they're only going to quote Allstate's options because they are captive to Allstate. An independent broker can offer you, can look at a bunch of different companies and look at their underwriting standards to decide which one is the best fit for you individually. Because there, for instance, if you use chewing tobacco, there's a particular company that they won't count you as a smoker. So it's important that your advisor knows these things. And I'm going to say not all captive advisors or insurance brokers are a bad idea, because there's some that give you discounts on your home policy or mm-hmm. other things if you use that. So it may make sense to do that. But in other cases, it may make sense to go see someone independent like our team. And then once you determine with that person how much you need, then they'll submit an application and you got to go through the underwriting process if you're doing a personal policy. This is the process where the insurance provider looks at your age, your health, kind of your habits. Like if you're going to go skydiving once a mm-hmm. month, that'll affect your premiums. and then they'll determine what your actual premiums are going to be. And it's important to understand that your policy is not effective until you have paid that first premium and they tell you that it's in force. So if you're looking at replacing any insurance, please, please, please do not cancel any old policies until you are sure the new policies are in place.
That is a huge planning point, because the last thing you want is to cancel something between mm-hmm. Getting something else to replace it. And then if, you know, terms aren't as great as what you imagine, or if you, for whatever reason, are turned away from that policy, then you're left with no coverage at all.
Mm-hmm. So we're going to give you our last little 2 cents before we go. Look, I get it. It is hard to say goodbye. But by preparing in advance, you can help your family grieve without financial burden. And that's so important.
Yeah. So just like all financial decisions, we encourage you to meet with financial advisors to set up a plan, make sure that the life insurance piece is one that's appropriate for you, mm-hmm. right? And that fits within the larger picture of your financial plan. And if you would like for our team to help you with this, then feel free to reach out to us. Our phone number is 501-653-7355 or via email at info@getreadyforthefuture.com.
Thank you so much for joining us today. If you're ready to ramp up your financial knowledge with a unique, personalized approach, check out the show notes for information on our MoneyWorks program or visit mymoney.works today. That's our 2 cents on life insurance. Join us on our next episode when we discuss ways for you to tackle your student loan debt.
Thanks for listening to Talking Sense. And if you like what you hear, make sure and subscribe to the podcast to get all the newest episodes.
The Jim Walt team is available to you 24/7 at info@getreadyforthefuture.com. Or you can call our offices at 866-653-PLAN. That's 866-653-7526.
And while we like to have fun here, we're also financial advisors, and that means disclosures. You should personally consult a financial advisor before making any investment, and no strategy can assure success.
Jim Walt Financial Advisors is an Arkansas registered investment advisor with securities offered through LPL Financial, member FINRA/SIPC.